I want to talk to us this morning a little bit about our confidence, our Christian confidence. One of the greatest sources of insecurity among the believers, is this question. Am I really right with God? Some people live with a quiet fear. Maybe God forgave me, but maybe he still holds something against me. Listen carefully. The Bible speaks clearly and boldly about our standing in Christ. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say less condemnation. It doesn't say reduced condemnation. It says no condemnation. Zero. Gone. Removed. Then Hebrews goes even further. Hebrews chapter 9. Chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Confidence, full assurance. Not a hope so faith, not a maybe I'm saved faith. The Bible speaks of a no so faith. A confidence rooted in Jesus Christ's finished work. In ancient kingdoms, commoners could not just walk into the throne room. If they entered without permission, it could cost them their life. But a prince, a daughter of the king, they could walk in freely. Why? Not because of their perfection, but because of their relationship. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are children of the king. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. God does not merely tolerate you. He welcomes you. Let me ask you, when you pray, do you approach God like someone barely allowed in? Or do you come like someone who knows they're welcome? Prayer is not a timid act for the believer. It's not approaching a distant God, hoping he might hear. It is entering his throne room with confidence because you belong there. The Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him." Notice something powerful about this passage. Scripture doesn't first promise that we will receive what we ask. It first promises that we are heard. Let me say this with clarity. The child of God does not pray trying to get God's attention. He already has it. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 16, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Notice it's not called a throne of judgment for the Christian. It's called a throne of grace. That means when a repentant heart enters prayer, it's not entering a courtroom to be condemned. It's entering a home to be helped. Imagine a busy office where people are waiting in line. They knock politely. They wait to be called. But then a small child walks right past the line, opens the door, steps inside without hesitation. No one stops him because he's the child of the one sitting inside. Prayer is not knocking on the door of a stranger. It's walking into the room of your Father. Let me ask a heart-searching question. Do you pray as though God is reluctant to hear you? Do you come as a stranger, hoping for a moment of mercy? Or as a child coming to your Father who has already said, "Come." Boldness in prayer is not arrogance. It's trust. I'm doing my usual trick. I'm even missing my cues to change slides. The world fears death. People avoid it. They avoid thinking about it. They change the subject. They numb themselves with distractions because they have no anchor beyond the grave. But the Christian speaks differently. not because we are fearless by nature, but because Christ has changed what death means to us. Listen to what Paul says with confidence. In Philippians, the first chapter, verses 21 to 23. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. The world says to die is to lose everything. Paul says to die is to gain everything I've lived for. He doesn't view death as a tragedy. He doesn't speak of it as defeat. He says, my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. That's not fear. That's confidence. David, in Psalms 23 and verse 4, says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Notice it's not called the valley of death. It's called the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow can pass over you, but it cannot harm you. Death lost its substance when Jesus conquered the grave. Paul, at the end of his life, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, for I am already poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Paul speaks of death as not as someone losing everything, but someone finishing well and gaining everything. For the unbeliever, death is like standing at the edge of a cliff, looking into darkness. For the Christian, death is like stepping through a doorway into the home we've longed for our whole lives. Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 15. That through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Christ did not only defeat death, he removed the slavery of fearing it. Let's be honest. How do we talk about death? Do we cling to this world too tightly? Do we live like this world is home? Confidence in Christ allows a believer to live without panic and die without fear. One of the greatest sources of Christian confidence is this truth: God finishes what he starts. Many believers worry, what if I don't hold on strong enough? What if I fail midway? Let me tell you, your confidence is not in your grip on Christ. It's in Christ's grip on you. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I am sure of this. Paul does not say, I hope so. He doesn't say, I'm optimistic about it. He says firmly, I am sure. Your salvation, my salvation, doesn't begin with our strength. And it will not be completed by our strength. It begins with our trust in God, and it will be finished by our trust in God. Hebrews 10, verses 35 through 36. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. This is something important. Confidence can be lost, not because God changes, but because we shift our focus from him to ourselves. God has not failed a single soul who's trusted him. Joshua 21, verse 45. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord has made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Not one word failed. Let me ask you, has God ever broken a promise to you? Through storms, through tears, through battles? You're still here. God kept you through all those trials, all those issues. If he kept you this far, why would he stop now? If you had a friend who year after year kept their word to you without fail, when they say, I'll be there, you don't worry, you rest. Because their track record gives you confidence in them. If consistency from a human being builds trust, how much more should the perfect consistency of God build unshakable faith in us? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. So we are always of good courage, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by how things look. We walk by what God has said. When fear comes, remember his faithfulness. When you feel weak, remember his strength, the strength that has carried you every step of the way so far. When you feel uncertain, remember God has not changed his mind about you. Confidence is not a personality trait. It's the byproduct of trusting a God who has never failed. Confidence in the day of judgment. Many people live with a quiet dread when they think about the day of judgment. Even Christians sometimes think, I hope I make it. I hope I've done enough. But the Bible does not speak of the Christian approaching judgment with terror, with fear. It speaks of approaching with confidence. The Apostle John in 1 John 4:17 and 18. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. Fear comes when you believe punishment awaits you. I can remember as a youngster when knowing I was in trouble, I was fearful of when my father got home. But confidence comes when you believe that Christ took your punishment upon himself. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Notice, he has eternal life. Present tense. He has passed from death to life. A completed work. He does not come into judgment. That's Jesus speaking. Jesus. Romans 8, 31 through 34. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. Who is the only one with the right to condemn you? Jesus. And what did he do? He died for you. He paid your penalty, and now he stands beside you, not condemning, but as an advocate and a savior. That's why the child of God does not stand in judgment before a criminal, like a criminal, before a judge. We stand like citizens before our king. Imagine standing in court, guilty, awaiting sentence. The judge raises the gavel, then takes off his robe, walks down, stands beside you. This case is already paid in full. Christian does not fear judgment, because for the Christian, judgment already happened at the cross. Are you living like someone waiting on a verdict? Or are you living like someone who has already heard the words? No condemnation. Case dismissed in Christ. Confidence at judgment doesn't come from being sinless. It comes from being blood-bought. Why do some Christians like confidence? Why do so many Christians still walk in fear, insecurity, guilt, uncertainty? Let's deal with it by what the scriptures tell us. One cause that we lose confidence is forgetting who we are. Second Peter, the first chapter, verse 9. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. When a believer forgets what God has done for him, done already, he might begin to live like someone who is still condemned. Rehearse your identity, who you are, every day in the Word. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Our confidence grows when the Word is dwelling in us. Not just visited occasionally. Sometimes we get disappointed with our own performance, and rightly so. But Galatians, the third chapter, verse 3, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Are we saved? If we're saved, on our best day, we're not more saved. On our worst day, we're not less saved. We need to shift the focus in our lives from our own performance to exalting Christ, exalting our Savior in our lives. Hebrews, the 12th chapter in verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Why do we lose confidence? Putting our feelings above our faith. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter in verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Our feelings change by the hour. God's truth does not change. Stop listening to your feelings and start preaching to your feelings. Psalms, the 42nd chapter in verse 5. When are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. David was talking to himself when he wrote these words. He talked to his soul. Where are our minds most of the time? When we get downcast, isn't it time for us to talk to ourselves? Have a little talk with us based on his words to us? Another reason. We have guilt from unconfessed sin. Psalm 32, 3 through 5. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave. Nothing steals our confidence in our salvation faster than hidden sin. Your guilt makes you draw back rather than approach. There's a solution. Confession doesn't reduce confidence. It restores it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. Why else do we lose confidence? Perhaps fear of man. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man lays a snare. When your confidence depends on the approval of people, you're always going to feel unstable. People's opinions change. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Neglect of growth. Another reason for us to lose confidence. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. You need milk, not solid food, but solid food is for the mature. You neglect your spiritual life, you're not going to have confidence in your salvation. Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith. Our confidence shouldn't be lost. It leaks through neglect, through fear, through guilt, through forgetting. Restore your confidence through the Word, through confession of your sins, through fear of God, and through growth in your faith. Our confidence is not arrogance. It's not pride. It's not saying, look at me. It's saying, look at Christ. And because I am in Him, I stand secure. Let's remember what we've seen in God's Word. Confidence in standing before God. Confidence in prayer. We are heard because we are His. Confidence in life and death. To die is gain. Confidence in God's faithfulness. He finishes what He begins. Confidence in judgment. Christ already took the punishment. Confidence restored through the Word, through God's grace, through confession of our faults, and through continuous growth in the Word. Confidence is not about how strong that I feel. It's about how secure Jesus' promises to us are. Confidence begins where condemnation ends. The Bible gives us a clear pattern. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing. Our belief in the Lord. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Repentance of our sins. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. Confession. Romans 10:9-10. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Our baptism. Acts the 2nd chapter and verse 38. Be baptized every one of you for the forgiveness of sins. Galatians 3:27. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Acts 22:16. A scripture that should have meaning to all of us in terms of what are we waiting for? Now, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sin, calling on His name. That's where confidence begins. Not in trying to be good, not in hoping you've done enough, but entering Christ, clothed in His righteousness, washed in His blood, raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-4. All of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. We too might walk in newness of life. If you're outside of Christ, you can't have confidence. If you respond to Him, you can walk out of this assembly forgiven, secure, and confident, not in yourself, but in the promises of our Lord. Invitation is open. Anyone needing to respond, won't you come forward as we stand together and as we sing?